I always feel the inadequacy of a single voice speaking after the congregation singing that final verse. Makes me wonder what heaven will be like when we hear the great choirs of all ages, the people of God joining with the angels of glory as they sing holy, holy, holy. Some other time when we do the Alleluia program, I think I will go on to speak to you on the holiness of God. Perhaps one of the forgotten themes, unfortunately, of the modern church, the holiness of God. What a theme, certainly the theme of heaven, and I trust it has blessed your heart tonight. We have already heard from God's word tonight, and part of the Bible reading took in the 150th Psalm, or at least part of that Psalm, which starts and finishes with the theme of tonight's program, the word Hallelujah. The phrase we have heard, praise the Lord, occurs many, many times. References to praising the Lord abound in the book of Psalms. The actual word, or if you want it, two words in the Hebrew scriptures, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, occur 23 times in the book of the Psalms. Now it's only a word, at least one word in English, as I've said, two, if you take it as a phrase in the Hebrew scriptures. A simple word, but I think a simple word with a striking message. Because I think it goes to the heart of revealed religion and of spiritual work and worship. And as we close tonight, that's the one word that must be ringing in your ears, and I would trust will ring in your heart. Think of it for a minute or two, the word Hallelujah. It is first and foremost an imperative. Here is a command. Here is a divinely announced duty. Praise ye the Lord. We have heard read tonight the command of Scripture to every kind of creature to praise the Lord, ending up with the final verse of the Psalter, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So every creature should praise Him, must praise Him, and especially should we praise Him. We have already gathered that we have every cause to do so. We have thought much on this tonight from the Word and also in song, He made us. That's something to praise God for. Despite Mr. Darwin, we are not third cousins to a monkey. When a Church of England bishop was debating Thomas Huxley, he made a statement like that we're not descended from monkeys. And Huxley turned and looked at the bishop, and looking at him, he said he would prefer to be descended from a monkey than from certain members of the bishop's bench. But he wasn't descended from a monkey. The Lord made us. And the Lord keeps us. It's a wonderful theme in Scripture. You realize even the enemies of God couldn't live for a minute to vent their fury against the Lord except He held them in being. It was to that wicked, evil King Belshazzar that Daniel addressed himself, and he said, God, in whose hand thy breath is, so that the breath of the blasphemer is given to him by the very one he blasphemes. The strength of the rebel is sustained in him by the very monarch against whom he rebels. we have cause to praise Him, for He sustains us all, but surely those who are saved have most cause to praise Him. We were thinking this morning of the man who said, "Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Once I was a poor, vile, guilty, wretched sinner, tottering on the edge of a lost eternity. But now I'm washed in precious blood, redeemed unto God by the cross of His Son, reconciled, made right with God, invested with all the righteous merits of Jesus Christ, and sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption." If that doesn't give you cause to praise God, then words have no meaning. We have often also sung the hymn, "He leadeth me." O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, He leadeth me. To the ungodly, life is a maze. Mr. Wagner and I were out for lunch before doing some hospital calls on Friday afternoon. I don't know why restaurants feel they have got to pipe music at you everywhere you go, and it's usually terrible music. It would put you off your meal. But some woman came on singing. I don't know who she was. But she came on singing a piece that I said to John, I said, "You know, I remember years ago hearing some man sing that. I haven't a clue who he was, but I thought as he made notoriety and a lot of money out of it, I thought, there's the philosophy of the world." The song was called simply, "Bring on the Clowns." Some of you may have heard it in your unsaved days, maybe even sung it. "Bring on the Clowns." And all it's saying is that life is a sick joke. We can make nothing of it. And at the end of the day, as you meander a lost soul through a lost world, all you can say is, "Bring on the clowns." Well, thank God, it's not a clown we're looking for. He leadeth me. What a blessing it is to be led by the One who saves us. I was speaking to Mr. Greer just before the service tonight. He gave me a beautiful example of this, not knowing that I would even be in a position to use it, but a beautiful example. About 4 years ago, Mr. Beggs's last year in the Ballymena Church, there were three young men who had been brought up in the church, who had gone away out into the world. And one by one, God saved them. By this time they were married and their wives were unsaved. There's been special prayer that God would bring these three young women to Christ. A year ago He brought the first of them. One of them is still out of Christ and they're praying on that God will save her. Last Sunday night, at the end of a gospel mission, the other young lady listened as she had listened every night, went out and wept bitterly under deep conviction of sin. Went home with her husband and went to bed, but couldn't sleep. And finally, burdened in heart, went down the stairs and got on her knees and cried to God to have mercy on her soul and save her. Her husband rose very, very early in the morning with a long journey to go to work. And she was still asleep. And that morning she came down, realizing that she had called on God to save her. And you could imagine the assault of the devil on her mind. With no preacher there or no one else there, she cried to the Lord, "Lord, give me a word from Yourself. A word to speak to me, and a word to assure me." And as she opened her Bible, she began reading in the 15th chapter of John, And the third verse just jumped off the page at her, and her heart soared to heaven as if the very Savior Himself had stood beside her and had given the word for none but her. Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. He leads us. Life is not a meaningless maze for the people of God, and therefore we have cause to praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. That's God's command. As you start tomorrow morning, God's first command to you is, praise the Lord. As you continue through today, tomorrow, whatever it brings, His continuing command is, praise ye the Lord. As you finish the day and you look back on all that has happened, His final command is, praise ye the Lord. That's our duty. And yet we groan and we moan and we complain and we become bitter and we fly in the face of God. We don't understand this. We can't explain the other thing. And we end up so bitter and disillusioned, so that we become as bad as Israel ever was in the wilderness, murmuring in the face of our holy God. You ever stop to think of Israel? There were times when they were thirsty. And I know it's easy to sit in South Carolina where you just go and flip the faucet and you've got a flow of water. But in the desert lands of southern Israel or down into Egypt, to be without water is certainly a horrendous experience. They were thirsty at times. But you know, it was still true. There was never a day that they lacked their food. There wasn't a plant in sight from which they could gather food. There was no way that they could feed themselves, but never once did they miss a meal. Even though they couldn't see any water sources, there never was a day when God did not provide for them. They could look at their feet. Their shoes never waxed old. They could look at their garments. They never grew threadbare or tattered. But they didn't look at those things. They just murmured. How often we're just as bad as they are. Can I say to you one of the reasons for the misery? And that's not too big a word or too bad a word. I think it's a very accurate word. That's one of the reasons for the misery that so much afflicts the lives of professing Christians. And where you get misery, you almost always, and I say almost, because there are times when there are particular spiritual battles being fought, at least for a time. It may seem to negate what I'm saying, but almost always where you've got misery, you have spiritual powerlessness. You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why do you think then the devil spends so much time and so much energy and so much effort in keeping God's people wretched and complaining and groaning and moaning and miserable? Because as long as they're miserable, they will be powerless. Oh, the command is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me make this suggestion to you. I have said this many times, that many of you have actually taken it to heart. A number of people here have come to me over the years and thanked me for this one piece of advice, because they have said, it has changed my life, it has changed my prayer life, it has changed my outlook, it has changed the start of every day. And I commend it to you. For many years I have sought to follow it in my own life. Go through the scriptures. I love to use the Psalms for this. Although at times I use other portions, just to go down the portion. On my knees before God, to give thanks to the Lord for every single thing that each verse, each syllable would suggest as an item for praise. You know, you can get into the habit of being a gripe and a groan and a long-faced, miserable character. It can become a habit. Oh, to have the habit of hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. We should praise Him by every legitimate means. We should sing His praise. Sometimes, like Brother Mike, you'll have to do it under your breath. Otherwise, you might end up in jail. You may not have the loveliest voice in the world, but listen, the Bible never says you've got to be able to sing 3 or 4 or 5 octaves to sing the Lord's praise. The Bible never says you've got to be able to hold a tune to sing the Lord's praise. The Bible never says you've got to be able to read music to sing the Lord's praise. If you've got the song in your heart, then let it out. Mightn't sound very good to us, but I want to tell you there's no sweeter sound in the ears of a holy God than the voice of a sinner whom Jesus died to save. Praise Him. Sing His praise. Give thanks to Him for all that He is and for all that He has done. Do what the Scripture says and rehearse the mighty acts of God. The mighty acts of God. Just think of it. And rehearse them to yourself. And then go out and tell others of His greatness. I love how Psalm 105 starts. Give thanks unto the Lord. That's praise. Call upon His name. That's prayer. Make known His deeds among the people. And that's preaching. And you know, that's God's order of things. That's the ministry of this church. That's got to be the ministry of this preacher. That's got to be the ministry of every Christian. Praise and prayer, and then preach it. But what are you preaching? Make known to others the mighty acts, the greatness of our God. This is an imperative. Praise ye the Lord. How much praising of the Lord have you done today? Have you even taken 2 minutes to get on your knees and praise God? But I have a backache or a headache or have a bad heart. Well, we all have bad hearts, one way or another. Or of this or of that. Or you don't know the troubles I have. Well, do you not think the Lord knows all about those things? I ask you again, how much do you actually praise the Lord? We're so often just like little spoiled kids. We run into the presence of God with an attack of the gimmies. Give me this, give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. I need, I need, I need. And we're like those lepers who had their need met. And only the Samaritan came back to say, thank you. Thank you. I often get the folk after communion to sing Seth Sykes' little chorus. It's so simple. I have to say again and again and again and again. I couldn't say how many hundreds or thousands of times over the years in my own heart and soul I've just had to come back to that little chorus, and it expresses it all. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and so free. This is an imperative. Praise ye the Lord. It's also a word of invitation. It's not just a command, it is an invitation to come and praise the Lord, for this is our privilege. And when you stop to think of this, we may join the angels of heaven in their highest occupation. What is the highest occupation of the angels in glory? Oh, they wing their way to do their master's will. But I have no doubt that could you ask an angel among all the perfections of glory, among all the glorious tasks that God lays upon you to do, what is that which is most joyous to a sinless angel's heart? And surely it would be to stand around the throne and sing what we have been singing tonight. Holy, 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 and worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Man, that's the highest occupation of angels. And we may join with them in that. Now we cannot soar like angels. And we cannot sound like angels. But thank God we may still praise the Lord. And He invites us. This to me is a miracle. I must say I love great music. Now by great music I have a very, very clear definition in my mind of great music. It's not necessarily what classical musicians call great music. Maybe, but it's not necessarily so. To me, great music is the music of the church that lifts the heart from the depths of earth and brings it to the footstool of the Almighty. That's great music. Other may be tuneful. Other music may be clever. It may be deeply intellectual. But so what? Some of the greatest intellects ever, musicians or otherwise, are burning in hell tonight. So what of their intellect? The great music is that which lifts the soul up to its God and its King. I love great music. I'd love to be able to play it. I have an old trombone at our house, and now and again, if you were around our house, you would think that a frog had died, and before it had died, it had had terrible pains as I tried to pick my way through, making noises that a trombone was not ever supposed to make. I also have a baritone, and it makes some noises sweeter than others, but usually not so sweet. I'd love to be able to make music. When I hear great singers, I would love to be able to sing the Lord's praise like that. But I can't do that. And yet the Lord says, even to me, praise ye the Lord. But you know, the greatest singer on earth is a bumbling, unmusical idiot in comparison to the angels of glory. It's not a singer on earth can sing like an angel or an archangel. And yet God, who has all the angels of heaven surrounding His throne, looks down at you and me, and He knows our vocal limitations. And He invites us to join the chorus. Isn't that a good reason why we as a congregation should practice to sing next week the Hallelujah Chorus? It's not just a matter of listening to somebody else do it. It's not a matter of, am I good enough to sing it? If God gives me the invitation, then let us take it and praise His holy name. And here's the most beautiful thing of all. Our praise will be received. The Lord doesn't say to me, praise ye the Lord, only to say I won't receive your praise. He receives our praise, but if He receives our praise, this thought struck me and I thank the Lord for it. If He receives my praise, He received me with it. In other words, He will not receive the praise and reject the one who brings it. There's an invitation here. Praise ye the Lord. This is a word of invocation as well. Hallelujah. As I say, is a Hebrew phrase. We have heard it tonight. Hallel is the praise, and the ending speaks of you, praise you. And then Yah is the name Jehovah. Praise you, Jehovah. But you can see immediately it invokes the name of Jehovah, our covenant-keeping God, into every circumstance of life. Many years ago, Dr. Paisley put up a one-word slogan in his office. Well, almost one word. Two words. This was a time of great struggle in Northern Ireland. It was a time when he had to take a very unpopular stand. And the people who had been for him were now against him. We had Christians who before thought that he was God's man for Ulster, and they couldn't find a good word to say about him because they didn't like the stand that he felt he had to take. Some of his best friends became his bitterest critics. Those of you who know Dr. Paisley will know that no man in our day that I have ever come across is more adept at praising the Lord and living in the aura of God's praise than our moderator. When you went into the office in the old office in the Ravenhill Church, or the Martyrs Memorial Church, there was this long slogan, just two words: Hallelujah anyway. And that summed it all up. Hallelujah anyway. When the sun is shining, praise the Lord. When our skies are gray, praise the Lord. When we're like Job in his prosperity, and we wash our feet in butter, hallelujah. When we're like Job in his affliction and in his poverty, and we sit down to scrape ourselves with a potsherd, the butt of every evil jest, hallelujah anyway. We may breathe this name in joyful worship, whatever the circumstances of life. This is a prayerful word, you see. It's a word of thanksgiving. It's a word of trust. Hallelujah. You remember Job's word when his wife bade him curse God and die? You remember his word as he thought of the corpses of his beloved children and the ruin of all his riches? Do you remember what he said? The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You stand looking at the corpse of your most beloved on earth, and you can still say, hallelujah. The Lord makes no mistakes here. This is a word of trust. I'm trusting Him. And it is a word of triumph. You see, this whole thing of the praise of God is what brings buoyancy to the Christian life. It's what keeps you walking on top of the water instead of the water breaking over you and sinking you. We sing, or used to sing, the little chorus, and I'm sure you did here, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. And we can. That's the force of this word of invocation. Praise ye the Lord. But I have to say as we close that it is a word of industry. Because here's the work of God in a nutshell. As I said this morning from 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Praising the Lord is a term of active service. It's a throne word and work. This is what you do at the throne when you come to pray. It's a kingdom work when you're out there serving Christ. You praise him. It's an assault on Satan's kingdom of darkness and dismal despair. Man, that's the world we live in. This is an awful place. This is an awful place. Sin is abounding. Wickedness is ripping this country apart. Homes and families, fathers, mothers, boys and girls, ripped apart. Wickedness on every hand. And the more wickedness spreads, and the more Satan has his way, the more darkness, the more dismal despair and wretchedness there is in the land. I want to tell you what the world cannot figure out. And it is a Christian with the joy of the Lord can't figure it out at all. When you get Christians who are really rejoicing in the Lord, and I'm going to make this blunt statement, get Christians who are really rejoicing in the Lord, who are satisfied with Jesus, whose heart is overflowing with the praise of the Lord Jesus, those Christians will become the most effective evangelists. The devil has no answer to them. There is no answer to them. But man, when you've got people going about talking about how good it is to be saved, and they're as miserable as the day is long. Great to be saved, I'm very happy. And my knee has almost been dislocated because my chin has dropped. Man, the world knows a phony when it sees it. You get Christians saying, oh, I'm saved. This is the most important thing in the world. But they spend much more time in the pursuits of the pleasures and the profits and all the things of the world than ever they do of the things of the kingdom of God. They have their life segmented into little categories. That's my work, and that's my religious life, and never the twain shall meet. Is it any wonder the world thinks there's nothing to it? But oh, when people have the joy of the Lord, when they're filled to overflowing, when they really know what it is to be happy in Christ, the overflow does reach the unsaved. And I want to tell you, it shines light into men's darkness. It breaks the fetters of Satan's bondage. In a word, this is the employment of heaven on earth. What are we going to be doing in heaven? Now, there's many, many a crass notion about what heaven's going to be like, and the idea of us all sitting around like old men warming our hands at some fire, if there is a fire, and there we're all just sitting there talking holy but doing nothing. That's not the picture of heaven. There is service. I don't know what it's going to be, but I tell you, there'll be more activity when we're in the presence of God than there's ever been here on earth. But you know the great thing about it all, the great thing about it all, we will be joyfully, wholeheartedly, sinlessly, and constantly singing hallelujah. Most of all, I'm here. The old devil told me I'd never get here. He did everything that hell could possibly dream up to stop me getting here. And I'm here, not by dint of willpower or works, but by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's what we will have as our chief joy in heaven, and our chief employment in heaven. So heaven and earth is hallelujah also. Let's praise him therefore in word and in work. Let's praise him whether we're in affluence or whether we're in affliction. Let's praise him when we're among the saints. Aye, but let's praise him when we're among the sinners. You just take this one word, and I want to tell you, nothing will more immediately impact our lives for good, advance our sanctification, or empower our service than simply learning this simple word and its striking message: praise ye the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Service is almost over. Before we have our closing hymn, I want to ask you if you know anything of the praise of Jehovah in your heart. Do you have a heart knowledge of Christ? Do you have anything of Christ in your experience that would lead you to praise Him? Or is this all a foreign language? Are you still out of Christ? The command of Scripture is repent and believe the gospel. I can't put it any more simply than that. Repent and believe the gospel. That's our Savior's command. It rings out to you tonight. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I have to confess there's a great deal of wretchedness and misery in my life. I've got such a sight of my afflictions and such a little sight of my Savior that the afflictions overwhelm me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, get your eyes on Him. Forget about your afflictions for a moment. And I don't make light of them. Forget about them for a moment and turn your eyes on Christ. And praise ye the Lord. He'll either remove the affliction, or He'll broaden your shoulders and strengthen your back to bear it. But either way, you'll be able to praise Him. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. Use that word effectively tonight, we pray. We ask Thee that this night Thou wilt create in every heart here a burning yearning to praise our God. O Lord, we thank Thee. We have every cause to sing the hallelujah. Make it our personal testimony. If there are those here out of Christ, we pray that Thou wilt save them. We ask Thee, Lord, if there are those here who've lost the joy of their salvation, as David once did, we ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt restore that to them. We pray that the stirring song that we have participated in this evening will indeed become the everyday song of these hearts and lives of ours. And Lord, help us to go out into the world with all its darkness and wretchedness, with all its sin and all its misery. Help us to go out into the world, and, O Lord, there with the joy of the Lord and the exuberance of grace, to witness a good confession before men. Lord, storm the kingdom of darkness with the light of the gospel of Thy grace, and use us in that work, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.